Welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour, a program for you and your family, a time to study the Bible together. In recent weeks, we've been studying the course, What the Bible Teaches. This fine course has been used around the world and has been translated into many languages. Today we're going to review the highlights of these lessons. Before we do, we'd like you to know that you can obtain this entire course in book form. So listen for important announcements at the close of the program. When considering what the Bible teaches, it seems natural that the first lesson should be on the Bible. The divisions of the lesson are titled, Who Wrote the Bible? What is the subject of the Bible? And what does the Bible contain? It closes with this tribute to the Bible. This book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be saved, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the compass of the pilot, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It will reward the greatest labor and condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. It is the book of books, God's book, the revelation of God to man. In this day when there's a battle going on over the Bible, this lesson will help you. And so that's a bird's eye view of Lesson 1. Lesson 2 is on the subject of God. No greater subject can occupy the mind than the study of God and of man's relationship to Him. In this lesson, we talked about the existence of God, that the Bible does not seek to prove the existence of God. The first verse of the Bible is an example. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God's existence is presented as a statement of fact that needs no proof. We went on to talk about the nature of God. God is a spirit. God is a person. We discussed the Trinity and finally the attributes of God, that He is omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, and eternal. We noted that He is unchangeable, holy and just. And finally, we saw that God is love. All of these attributes of God are based on verses in the Bible. Lesson 3 is on the subject of man. We studied about man's origin, his nature, and his free will. We also faced up to the fact of man's sin and talked of his future. Lesson 4 was on the subject of sin. No one can read the Bible very much without realizing that a great deal of attention is given to the subject of sin, its cause, and its cure. We often think of sin in connection with crime and murder, but sin in the Bible refers to anything short of God's perfection. In Romans 3:23 we read, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The glory of God includes the thought of absolute perfection. Sin is therefore falling short of the mark. All of us are guilty of this. In Lesson 4, we noted the origin of sin, with the first recorded instance of sin taking place in heaven. The angel Lucifer became ambitious to be equal with God. The first instance of sin on earth is described in the book of Genesis and took place in the Garden of Eden. We looked at the results of sin, the penalty of sin, and finally, the remedy for sin. God has provided so that men do not need to suffer everlasting punishment for their sins. He sent His Son into the world to provide a way of escape for man. The Lord Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. He did not inherit Adam's sinful nature. He was the only sinless man who ever lived. On the cross of Calvary, He willingly suffered the penalty for sin and satisfied all God's holy demands. Since the penalty of sin has been met, God can now give eternal life to every sinner who confesses the fact that he is a sinner and receives the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. We're going to pause right now in this short program to allow you to think about the matter of your sin and what the Savior offers you. He offers you a full forgiveness and a home in heaven. Why not make your decision during this quiet time of music? You took advantage of this opportunity to trust the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior. At the close of the program, our address will be given, and we'd like to hear from you. With this program of the Emmaus Bible Hour, we are reviewing the course, What the Bible Teaches. This is a correspondence course of the Emmaus Bible School. If you would like to take this course, write to the address that will be given at the close of this study. Lesson 5 is on the subject of Christ, His deity, His incarnation, His work, and His offices. In a day when there is so much false teaching concerning Christ and His deity, this lesson is of utmost importance. Many scripture references are given. Lessons 6 and 7 are on the new birth. Again, we're aware that there's much talk today about the new birth, about being born again. Right here in the heart of this correspondence course is a very clear presentation of what the new birth is not, and also what it means to be really born again. For instance, it's not of natural generation. Though one may be born of Christian parents, this does not make him a Christian. It is not of self-determination. Just as a child cannot will itself to be born physically, so no one can produce the new birth by his own efforts. The lesson goes on to indicate 7 more things that the new birth is not. How then can a person be born again? By believing the Word of God, by the indwelling of the Spirit of God, and by faith in the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ. The final matter taken up is, when can a person be born again? The answer to this can be obtained by consulting your watch. The new birth takes place the moment a guilty sinner looks to Christ and trusts Him as his Savior and Lord. Why not just where you are, as you are, cease from your own efforts to save yourself and trust in the person and rest in the work of the Son of God who did it all for you. Lesson 8 is on salvation, which is closely linked to the subject of the new birth. It is defined. Its necessity is shown. Its provisions noted. Christ came to be the Savior of sinners. Through Christ's death and resurrection, this salvation has been provided to God's complete satisfaction. In order to receive salvation, a person must repent, which consists of a change of mind, which results in a change of attitude towards sin, self, the Savior, and salvation, which in turn is evidenced by a change of action. This is true repentance. Then the person must believe the gospel or the testimony concerning the person and work of Christ. As a lost, guilty sinner, he must believe that Christ died for him individually, that Christ bore his sins, took his place, by his death accomplished all the work needed for his salvation. Finally, the person must accept the Lord Jesus Christ by a definite act of his will as his own personal Savior, henceforth to own him as the supreme Lord of his life. Assurance comes through the Word of God. God declares plainly that every soul trusting in his Son is forgiven, saved, the possessor of eternal life, and secure forever. Salvation has a threefold aspect: past, present, and future. Past means salvation from sin's penalty or consequences. Present means salvation from sin's power or control. And future means salvation from sin's presence at the coming of Christ. No wonder the Bible calls it a great salvation. Lesson 9 is on grace. All of God's dealings with mankind at the present time are on the basis of grace. This means that he shows men favor which they do not deserve. The lesson on grace is a very important one, since this subject is not well understood by many people. Lesson 10 is on faith. Faith is personal confidence. We use the word in everyday conversation as follows: I have complete faith in my doctor. We mean that we trust him with our case. So in the Bible, faith is personal confidence in God. It means that we believe what he says and trust him to save us and keep us. Lesson 11 is on heaven and hell. And the final lesson, lesson 12, is on future events. As you can see, this course, What the Bible Teaches, is a very valuable correspondence course. No wonder it has been studied by such a large number of people. We want you to have a copy. Please stay tuned for some announcements, including our local address. And thank you for studying with us on the Emmaus Bible Hour. Thank you.